Chapter 27. The next morning, I awoke to find a collection of boxes on the embassy doorstep.
"Oh, what's this?" Mrs. Chamwit said as I hurriedly gathered them up. "Can I help?"
"No," I said, perhaps too forcefully. It's nothing."
"Cleaning drone?"
Mrs. Chamwit said as she read the label on one.
Oh."
Her attitude grew visibly subdued as she spoke, continuing her hand signals.
"Have I been doing a poor job?"
"No," I said again, balancing the stack of boxes. "Just, I like my privacy, you know?"
"I see," she said. "Well, do you need help setting it up? I've used a few cleaning drones myself in my time."
"No, thank you."
I guess I'll be leaving you to enjoy your day off then. I made you a lunch and a dinner in the refrigeration unit."
She stepped out the door.
"Thanks, bye,"
I said eagerly, shutting it behind her, then carried the boxes up the steps. It was perhaps a little callous, but at the same time, I couldn't have Kuna's spy hanging around finding out what I was doing with this cleaning drone. I hurried to my room, placed the boxes on the bed, and locked the door. "Embot, you there?" I asked.
"Yup,"
he said, his voice coming through my earpiece.
"Hold those up for the camera at your workstation so I can confirm that everything came."
I let him inspect the label of every box. Then, at his instructions, I broke them all open and laid out what we'd ordered. A cleaning drone roughly the size of a lunch tray and perhaps 15 centimeters thick. It had its own small acclivity rings under the wings, each no larger than an O made by my thumb and forefinger. This type of drone could fly around a room, dusting shelves and washing windows. It would be virtually silent, moving slowly on its rotating acclivity rings. Embot had also ordered a full set of tools, a large tarp, and some spare parts I could use to affix Embot systems to the drone's chassis. I spent the next 2 hours carefully removing the bottom sections of the drone, the dusting pads, the storage for debris, the cleaning fluid sprays. I left on the drone's little robot arms, but otherwise removed all of its attachments. As I worked, Embot kept me entertained by reading articles for me off the local datanet. I was surprised at the extent of things the superiority let the public read. No military or hyperdrive secrets, of course, but I learned about old Earth. Of particular interest to me was the record of first contact. The first official time humans had met aliens, which had been facilitated by an old telecom company. A thought occurred to me as I worked with some screws, and Embot finished telling me about the history of the Kitson interactions with Earth, which were older but more vague than the first official contact. "Hey," I said, wagging my screwdriver toward Doomslug, who nestled on the tabletop nearby. "Is there anything about slugs like her?"
"You know, I haven't looked," Embot said. "Let me?"
"Oh."
"Oh what?"
"The species of molluscoid called Tanix," Embot read, "is a dangerously venomous creature with yellow skin and blue spines, originally from the planet Cambry. They escaped on early trading vessels and are considered an invasive species on several planets. They can be found around various strains of fungi common throughout the galaxy. Report any sightings to authorities immediately, and do not touch."
I looked at Doomslug, who trilled questioningly. "Venomous?" I asked.
"That's what it says," Embot said.
"I don't believe it," I said, going back to my work. "Must be a different species from her."
"The pictures look very similar," Embot said. "Maybe they're just not toxic to humans."
Maybe. I thought about that as I finished my work on the drone. With all those pieces removed, it was much lighter, and so should still be able to fly after I attached the spy equipment. I balanced the drone and the tarp and tools under one arm, and Doomslug under the other, and climbed up onto the roof. Then I set everything in Embot's cockpit and plugged the drone into his console.
"All right," he said. "There's plenty of space in the drone's memory. I'm going to wipe it clean and rewrite it with new code. It might take a few minutes. You should climb underneath me and remove the following systems from my hull.
My hull!
Doomslug fluted from the seat. Scud. Had Mrs. Chamwit seen her? I couldn't remember. Embot projected a set of schematics for me, highlighting certain systems. I nodded, then climbed out and draped the tarp over him, tying it down to the launch pad. Has Mrs. Chamwit seen Doomslug? I asked. As far as you know? I couldn't say, Embot said. Usually the slug lives in your room or my cockpit, places where you've asked Mrs. Chamwit not to clean. Yeah, but Doomslug rarely stays where I put her, and I suspect Mrs. Chamwit is looking for things to report, so keeping an invasive species as a pet could get me into trouble. I still think you're too harsh on Mrs. Chamwit. I like her. She's nice. Too nice, I said. Is that possible? Yes, particularly if you're a Krell. Don't forget what those creatures did and are currently doing to our people back on Detritus. I am incapable of forgetting things. Yeah? I asked. Exactly how much of your life from before meeting me do you remember? That's different, he said. Anyway, we just got another message from Kuna, who wants an update on your experiences with flight training. Shall I send them another bland description of the day's exercises? Yes. Leave out the personal interactions. You're going to have to talk to them eventually. Not if I escape with a hyperdrive first, I said, securing the last of the tarp's corners. I didn't want to deal with Kuna and their creepy smile. That alien knew more than they were saying, and I figured stalling was the best way to not get caught in whatever nets Kuna was weaving. I grabbed the tools and climbed down underneath Embot to begin working. He helpfully projected the schematics I needed onto the underside of his fuselage so I could follow the instructions step by step. As I undid the first access panel, I suddenly had a flashback to working alone in the cave on Detritus, trying to get Embot to power on for the first time. Strange how fondly I looked back on that time. The excitement of being in flight school, the challenge of rebuilding my own ship. It had been such a satisfying, wonderful time of my life. Though thinking of it, I couldn't help but be reminded of my friends. It hadn't yet been 2 weeks, but it felt like an eternity since I'd heard Ned poke fun at Arturo or listened to one of Kimmelin's made-up sayings. I was here for them, and everyone else on Detritus. With that in mind, I started poking around Embot's insides. Most of the wires here had been carefully tied off, organized, and labeled by Raj during Embot's rebuilding. My friend did good work, and I quickly located the systems I needed to remove. All right, I said, tapping a box with my wrench. This is one of your holographic units. Once I pull this out, a good quarter of you will turn back into looking like yourself. You ready for that? Actually, no, he said. I'm a little nervous. Can you get nervous? I'm trying to do what you told me, Embot said. Claim my emotions as my own, not just simulations. And I'm nervous. What if someone sees me? That's why we have the tarp. And we need this unit. Otherwise, the drone will be too visible to explore. All right, Embot said. I guess this was kind of my idea. It is a good idea, right? Ask me once we succeed, I said. Then took a deep breath and unhooked the small holographic projector, which had a built-in processor for active camouflage. Larger and more advanced than my bracelet, it should still fit in the drone. I feel exposed, Embot said. Naked. Is this what being naked feels like? Similar, I guess. How's that programming going? Well, Embot said, this drone will have fewer constraints than I will. I'm not going to copy over the code that forbids me from flying myself, for example. It will be like me, only better. That gave me pause. You're going to give it a personality? Of course, Embot said. I want the best for my child. Child, Scud. I hadn't realized.
Is that how you view it? I asked.
Yes, it will be my...
Click, 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 click.
I frowned as I stowed the holographic unit to the side, then started working on taking out the other components we'd need.
I'm back, Embot eventually said. Spensa, that watchdog subroutine forbids me to copy myself. I find it distressing.
Can you code the drone, but not with a personality?
Maybe, Embot said. This subroutine is extensive. Apparently, someone was very scared of the possibility of me creating my own...
Click, 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 click.
Scud, I said, ripping out one of Embot's sensor modules and putting it beside the holographic unit. Embot? I had to wait a full 5 minutes for the reboot, longer than previous times, long enough that I started to worry we'd broken something permanent inside him.
I'm back, he said, causing me to let out a breath in relief. I see you have my backup sensor module. That's good. Now we just need my frequency jammer, and we should be in good shape.
I pulled myself underneath him to another hatch, which I undid. Can we talk about what's happening to you without causing it again?
I don't know, he said softly. I'm frightened. I don't like being frightened.
I'm sure whatever is wrong with your programming, we can fix it, I said. Eventually.
That's not what makes me afraid.
Spensa, have you thought about why my programming has all these rules?
I can't fly on my own, except for the most basic repositioning. I can't fire my weapons. I don't even have the pathway connections to do that. I can't copy myself, and my programming is thrown into a recursive stalling loop if I think about trying to...
Click, 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 click.
I worked quietly while he rebooted yet again.
I'm back, he finally said. That's getting very frustrating. Why did they make this so hard?
I guess that whoever programmed you was just very careful, I said, trying not to say anything that would send him into another shutdown.
Careful of what? Spensa, the more I examine it, the more my brain looks like a cage. Whoever built me wasn't being careful, they were being paranoid. They were afraid of me.
I'm not particularly afraid of water, I said, but I'd still seal up my pipes tightly if I'm building a sewer system.
It's not the same, Embot said. The pattern here is obvious. My creators, my old pilot, Commander Spears, must have been truly afraid of me to put these prohibitions in place.
It might not have been him, I said. Maybe these rules are just the result of some ultra-cautious bureaucrats. And remember, powerful AIs are somehow connected to the Delvers. You're supposed to anger them. It might not have been you that anyone was afraid of. It might have been the dangers you could bring.
Still, Embot said. Spensa, what about you? Are you afraid of me?
Of course not.
Would you be if I could fire my own weapons, fly myself around, copy myself at will? One Embot is your friend, but what about 1,000 of us? 10,000? I've been researching old Earth media. They certainly seemed frightened of the idea. Would you fear us if I became an army?
I had to admit it made me hesitate. I imagined that thought, turning it over in my head.
You told a story, Embot said, about a shadow who took the place of the man who had created him.
I remember.
What if I'm the shadow, Spensa? Embot said. What if I'm the thing from the darkness that tries to imitate men? What if I can't be trusted? What if...
No, I said, firmly cutting him off. I trust you. So why wouldn't I trust you 1,000 times over? I think we could do far worse than having a fleet of Embots on our side. It might get a little strange to talk to you all, but, well, my life isn't exactly normal these days anyway. With all the proper parts removed, I scooted out from under Embot and rested my hand on his tarped over wing. You're not some dangerous shadow of a person, Embot. You're my friend.
As I am a robot, your physical and verbal reassurances are mostly wasted on me. I cannot feel your touch, and I find your simple affirmations to be the result of you reinforcing your desired worldview, rather than a fully evidenced examination of the topic.
I don't know what you are, M'Bot, I said. You're not a monster, but I'm not sure you're a robot either.
Again, do you have any evidence of these suppositions?
I trust you, I said again. Does that make you feel better?
It shouldn't, he said. Why are we pretending? I simply imitate feelings in order to better.
Do you feel better?
Yes.
Proof,
I said. Feelings aren't proof. Feelings are the opposite of proof.
Not when the thing you're trying to prove is someone's humanity.
I smiled, then ducked under the tarp. I'd left some slack near the cockpit and pushed my way over so I could reach inside.
What do we do with the drone if you can't program it?
I can program it, M'Bot said. It will simply have a basic, routine set of programs. No personality, no simulated emotions. A machine.
That will do, I said. Keep working on it. I gave Doomslug a scratch on her head and picked her up, then gathered the parts I'd taken off M'Bot and walked back down into my bedroom. M'Bot put my next task onto the screen there. I needed to combine the sensor unit, the holographic unit, and the jamming array into a single box he'd ordered. I set to work, following M'Bot's instructions. It took less time than I'd expected. All that was left was to wire it in such a way that we could attach it to the bottom of the drone. It would hang down like a fruit from a branch, not particularly elegant in design, but it would let the drone activate camouflage, record what it saw, and hide from sensor sweeps. Theoretically, I'd be able to let it loose in the bathroom of the weights and measures, then leave it to carefully make its way, invisibly, to engineering and take some photos of the place. M'Bot was skeptical that simple photos would be enough and had insisted that we include an entire sensor unit to measure things like radiation. But I had an instinct, perhaps related to my abilities. I was close to figuring something out, a secret related to cytonics and how the superiority used them. If I could just see those hyperdrives.
Spencer, M'Bot said. Someone is at the door downstairs.
I looked up from my wiring, frowning. Is it Chamwit? I'll need to send her away. Maybe tell her to go on vacation for a few days. We can't risk Kuna finding out.
It's not her, M'Bot said, showing me an image from the door camera. It was Morimer.
Why were they here? I hadn't even realized they knew where I lived.
I'll deal with them, I said.